when you have a greater sense of self-awareness, then you can start to problem solve and take action. I think we paralyze ourselves by not understanding what kinds of things stop us or are barriers or triggers for us not to move forward. And so we either bury those things, look past them, and just keep going. But if you want to be the best version of yourself, I think you need to dive in.
What's up, y'all? I'm Amber, aka Ambie, and this is Ambiguity with Ambie, an interview podcast where we speak to guests about what it was like for them to encounter countless spaces and moments of uncertainty and ambiguity. And through that, we discover and learn from how they navigated it. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Ambiguity with Ambie, where we discuss what it's like to navigate spaces of uncertainty and ambiguity. I'm your host, Amber, aka Ambie, and today I am joined by an amazing guest. She is an entrepreneur, a certified coach, a consultant out here. I am joined by the amazing Dez. Hi, Dez.
Hi, Ambie. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
I'm excited to have you. Yes. So I've had the opportunity to have some amazing conversation with you prior to this, but can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So I am a healthcare consultant. I've been doing that for 17 years. I also have a private coaching practice. And I do transformational coaching, predominantly people who are going through transition, ready to embark on different new aspects of interests or new territory in their life. And I'm also a podcaster too. So I'm always excited to meet with a fellow podcaster. I have a show called Born Unbreakable. It's everywhere you listen to podcasts, and it's in the self-development space too. And I live in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Ooh, that's what's up. That's what's up. Thank you for sharing a little bit more about what you do and who you are. And when we get started with these podcasts, I like to allow us to get to know you a little bit better. So I tend to start off with this activity I like to call Fast Five. So with Fast Five, I'm going to ask you five questions, maybe either or, maybe something just completely random. And then I want you just to give us your first reaction, first thought. And if there's a little bit of story or why behind it, let us know. All right.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. So I know you mentioned that you were in Vegas, and I know some of the buffets out there are just A1. Mm-hmm. But if you could only order from one restaurant for the rest of your life, what restaurant would you choose?
Yeah. So speaking of buffets, there's one called the Bacchanal Buffet, mm-hmm. and it's at the Caesar's Palace, I'm pretty sure. And I had it recently. Everything you can imagine, everything from Mexican, Asian, American, all different cuisines. And I would choose that because I would never get bored of the food. I would have a lot of options and desserts. So that's it there as well. So you can do the mimosa package. You can have all the desserts that you want. So I would definitely choose that buffet.
Okay. So you mentioned dessert. So when you are grabbing a snack, mm-hmm. are you going salty or are you going sweet?
Oh, that's good. I tend to go savory when I want a snack, something like chips. I do like spicy. So like a spicy chip or chips and dip or something like that will satisfy my snack craving.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So you're in a space, you've grabbed some snacks, and now you are maybe tuning in to some television or a little Netflix. Yes. What genre are you leaning into?
True crime. Yeah. So I just finished the final season of Ozark.
Oh, I've heard so many things about that.
Which is in the genre. It's a kind of drug cartel, money laundering, really fascinating types of lives that come together. I like intricacies and suspense and things like that, where there's a lot of unexpected things that happen. But true crime for the reason that, not because I want people to die, because that's always makes me sad. It's the psychology behind why people do what they do. And I actually went to Crime Con this past weekend in Las Vegas.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Just like people go to Comic-Con where you, you know, like really fanatics of comics, there's a crime convention and people like forensic scientists, neuroscientists, FBI agents, Border Patrol agents, and true crime fans obviously go. And so you can meet podcasters and professionals and like Dateline television hosts and things like that. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
I know.
Like, I didn't even know.
I nerded out so much. It was awesome.
There's nothing wrong with a good moment to nerd out. So after watching this true crime, because I imagine it's stressful. It's stressful for me. I don't know if it's stressful for you. But after watching this true crime, and let's say, like, you know, you've been a little anxious because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's time to relax. Are you choosing like a massage? Or are you choosing a facial? Or are you choosing mani-pedi?
Ooh, that is good because I do all three. I'm a huge, self-care fan. Like if there's one thing that I love to advocate to people, it's the importance of self-care because
absolutely
take care of you first before you can give the best of yourself to others. But if I had to choose immediately, I would choose massage.
Oh, I can understand. I can understand.
Yeah, because the tension, you've got the tension. And, you know, generally speaking, I tend to sit. I do travel quite a bit. So I do tense up. So if there's something I do most frequently of all of the three you mentioned, it would be that.
All right. So I can only imagine where that tension comes from, that the massage helps. So it kind of flows into our final question of the Fast Five. Have you ever experienced or faced ambiguity and uncertainty? Because I'm sure those spaces provide some of that tension that needs to be massaged out.
Yeah, that's why I need massage all the time, because there's too much ambiguity happening all the time. Yeah, the answer to your question is absolutely. I think there's been many moments. Oftentimes they're the unexpected ones. Certainly the pandemic has brought forward tons for everyone.
Absolutely.
If there's one thing that we can share and understand together, it's that. But absolutely, there has been ambiguity in
that. For certain. Like you said, especially with this pandemic, everyone, and you all know, and you know as well, Des, that is a portion of where this podcast was birthed from. So can you tell us a little bit about a time in your life when you experienced ambiguity or uncertainty, be it in the pandemic or another part or another point in your life?
Yeah, the most impactful and memorable time that I went through ambiguity was when I experienced divorce.
Wow.
And that was when I was 25 years old. So young, and had a very idealistic way of thinking. You know, I was with my high school sweetheart when I was 15.
Wow.
Yeah, we were together for 7 years before I got married. So I was 22. It was after I graduated from college. And I actually remember that I got married, graduated from college, and started a new career all in the same month.
That's a lot of change.
Yeah. So that was ambiguous because although there was excitement in starting something new, like you didn't know what my life was studying in college. Yeah. And you know, making some money to pay for books and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you start a new career and you're married and your whole life has changed, you know? So it was a great experience. You know, I loved the process of learning and entering into a new chapter, but it was ambiguous when I went through a divorce because I didn't anticipate it. You know, it was one of those things where you sort of envision your life in a certain way. And I think for anybody listening, you might not relate to, like, maybe you can relate to a breakup because, you know, sometimes breakup is kind of close to a relationship shifting or ending or changing, but it's when basically when life throws you a curveball, you know, when you said, hey, I chose to go right and life was like, no, you're going to go left today. And you're like, whoa, I wasn't prepared for that. And so when we decided, or it was mostly my choice and he had to, you know, deal with that because there were just challenges that we had in our relationship. I had no idea what I was going to do next. Literally, I wanted to move. So that was something that I knew, but I needed to start over. My identity was attached to somebody that I had been with at that point for 10 years.
Wow.
And so I had to rediscover myself, and that was terrifying. You know, it was exciting and terrifying at the same time because it meant exploring more deeply what my really true interests are, because I was just felt so attached to someone, and also just taking a chance, you know, on myself and what I wanted my life to look like. So that's probably the point when I delved a lot deeper than I already was interested in self-development, you know, even wow. more books. At the time, at that time, podcasts weren't as popular as they are today. So it was more actually reading books and finding like-minded people to connect with. But that was definitely one of the big things that I remember.
Wow. So you said so much in there. You had this initial point where you had a significant amount of change, where you were adjusting a lot of major aspects of your life. And then you went through the journey and had another moment where things took a complete shift. Mm-hmm. And even in that, you had an even deeper moment that required a lot of self-discovery in the midst of uncertainty and ambiguity. And I think I want to just kind of take a step back to like that first space of all of those changes happening at the same time. And in so many aspects and areas of your life, you found yourself diving into the unknown and into these uncertain spaces. So what was that like for you at 22? Mm-hmm. You're coming out of school, you're getting married, mm-hmm. you're embarking upon all of these different new journeys and still evolving as a person yourself. What was it like to navigate those spaces?
Yeah, it was scary. You know, I think I was worried about the job because it was required travel as a consultant. You know, I chose an interesting career that I would be gone 4 days a week and home on the weekends, Friday through Sunday. So I had to actually be on the road more than I was home. Mm. And starting a new marriage, even though we had been together for 7 years, it was a different transition, you know, the different commitment, different level of responsibilities that we wanted to take on together. And so that was two things that I was always wondering, how is this going to work? You know, you're starting a new chapter of a relationship and spending more time away from the relationship. We did talk about it beforehand. So we both anticipated that was a part of the choice to take this career opportunity. But there were so many question marks and how that was going to go. You know, if I was going to be happy doing that, or if I was going to find it overwhelming to have to juggle two dimensions of life, you know, because I was living in two different places. I would always have a corporate apartment in some city and then living at home, which at the time I was living in California. And when I first started, my projects were in other states. So it was like Arizona, Ohio, Colorado, all
over
Austin. Yeah, all different places. And so it wasn't like it was just down the street.
Yeah. So as you're navigating the space and a place of navigating it with a partner, what was that like? And would you have any advice now that you've been through it for any listener that is trying to navigate a similar space with a partner where it's unknown for both and you're basically just trying to do the best that you can with the situation that's before you?
Yeah. The biggest advice that I would give is around getting aligned on goals.
Yeah.
At that time, I And I still am today, but I think the way that I operate is with more intentionality, even though I'm a spontaneous person. So I love adventure. I love going with the flow. But when you are having life with a partner, I mean, even in a business partnership, anything that you're making a decision to do part of life with somebody, you have to have aligned goals. And I made the mistake of assuming that you would just figure it out. But it's important to have those long-term conversations about what you want life to look like, you know, financially, family-wise, all the different things that we care about from your, you know, I kind of think about the wheel of life. And everybody has, you know, 8 to 10 pieces that matter to them. Maybe it's spirituality, family, fun, your social life. So there's some kind of major categories that comprise what's important to us as people. And if the goals that are tied to each of those big items are different for two people, then that's where you really have to work together to determine if you're on a path that makes sense together, or if it just so happened that your life came together at a point where you have more commonalities, but as you look towards the future, there can be some differences that you either have to reconcile, or maybe it isn't that well aligned. But at that time and at that age, I don't know that I had the foresight and experience, but I do think that people, even today, that are that age can do some of that exploration. You know, you might not have all the answers, but I do think asking the tough questions about what future goals you have and how you intend to get there is definitely possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so, so good, because even in platonic relationships, like understanding what the goal is, or the reason for the person's existence in your life, or the reason for you to be in the season that you are with them, matters so much. So I love that. I love that. And I love the wheel of life concept. That was really good. I really enjoyed that one. I'm definitely going to look into that more myself, especially when it comes to navigating what the desires are for the future. So that was really good. So you're on this journey, and you've already given great advice about alignment, and you continue down the journey, and you get to this point where you decide, okay, this is another time where I'm going to step out into the unknown, and you make the decision that you want to get divorced at 25.
Yeah.
And you are now kind of releasing some of the fantasy that I imagine was created based on, like, you know, how we love the fairy tale. You're releasing some of the expectations that we just naturally engage in. So what was it like to come to that decision for you to actually say, you know what, I'm going to step out into this uncertain space and embrace it instead of remaining in the space that I'm in now?
I think about the book, or Brené Brown, and she has
love her.
Dare to Lead. And she uses this analogy of stepping into the arena when we're being really, really vulnerable, because that's what it feels like. And that's what I felt like I was stepping into this arena of vulnerability with myself. And the biggest thing I was concerned about was judgment.
Wow.
Because when you are fitting a societal norm, of which I would arguably say that in many cultures, it's to find a partner and get married and do life together. And you then break that. It's concerning because you wonder how people are going to look at you, how people are going to think of you and possibly judge you for breaking a commitment. I grew up in a family that was Catholic, and there is stigma around the decision to get divorced. It's not looked upon as a very good thing. So then there was that. You know, I remember getting questions about why I wouldn't just work it out, and my grandma, you know, I mean, you don't want to disappoint, because they look at you as this person that is supposed to do all the accomplishments for the family and carry on such a good example. And then something happens that's less than ideal, and then people aren't satisfied with the decision that you're making. So I think for me, it was recognizing, it was one of the first times in my life where I was taking ownership for me and living on terms that made sense for me, despite if other people may question or disagree with it. And that was part of my own maturity, is realizing that there's probably going to be more moments in life that are like that, where I may make a choice that I truly feel in my heart gives me peace and joy and happiness, but others, you know, it may not make them feel that way. But then I think that's when you have those adult conversations with those people you care about to say, you know, I respect your opinion and I respect your perspective, but this is what is best for me. And I hope that you can understand that. And I hope you can, even if you didn't agree, I hope you can support my decision.
Yeah. That's so good. And something that really stood out to me about what you were saying was the concept of taking ownership of your own life, especially in the space related to something else you mentioned, which is societal norms and what society tells us that life should look like, and what society tells us our life should look like, or what family tells us our life should look like, or what insert person here or thing here tells us that our life should look like. So what for you, what did it mean or look like for you to take ownership of your life during that time?
It was empowering. It was very much of a feeling like I had control of me and my destiny. It wasn't the reliance on what I've been told. And I think that is one of the challenges that we go through as human beings as we grow, is reconciling the way that you might have been taught something or what the majority of people do. There are these crossroads that you find yourself in where you may take the lesser path. You may take the less popular path. And standing in your conviction of that, I think, is such a critical revelation, you know, for us as humans. And so one of the big mantras that I share with people is to be unapologetically you, because it means that you're coming into your own, and the people that are meant to be around you will be there. If there's anybody who doesn't connect with who that authentic version of yourself is, then those are the individuals that might not need the front seat in your life. There's this guy, his name's Karamo Brown, and he has a show, and he's this great guy. And I heard him on a podcast, and he was talking about the analogy of where people are. And some people deserve a front seat. There's some people who need to be in the balcony section, because it's one of those decisions. And it probably wasn't until I got into my mid to late 20s that I recognized that, because I am a people pleaser and tend to want to do for others to make them happy first before I make myself happy. And I had to get with that understanding that there are some people you have to move to different seats in your life. And then I had really heeded Oprah's advice. I went to an event of hers before the pandemic, thankfully, that I got to see her live. And she said, you know, getting rid of your disease to please is work. And I had that. And arguably, I still feel that I'm battling, you know, with that. I think I have more awareness about it. And that's why I can respond to moments with more clarity. But it's a real challenge, I think, the disease to please others. And when your first objective is to please yourself, it changes the perspective of how you make decisions in the world.
Wow. Wow. You just dropped so many bombs. Like, there was so many nuggets of wisdom in that. Oh my goodness. So as you're navigating that and navigating this disease to please, figuring out where people need to be seated in your life, like, oh my goodness, all of that. As you're navigating this space and you are starting to take ownership of your life, how did you truly begin to discover your own identity and your own interests? Like, what does that process look like? Because I think a lot of times as we transition through seasons, sometimes the struggle, especially if those seasons are uncertain
or ambiguous. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the struggle is understanding what identity looks like holistically, what identity looks like in that season, what interests looks like in that season, especially since we're continuously evolving. So how did you discover you and your identity and your interests?
One of the big ways was through journaling, and to me, connecting with my feelings and my thoughts and putting it on paper to say, this is what you love. This is what you're interested in. This is what your fears are. This is what you're concerned about. And when you have a greater sense of self-awareness, then you can start to problem solve and take action. You know, I think we paralyze ourselves by not understanding what kinds of things stop us or are barriers or trigger for us not to move forward. And so we either bury those things, look past them, and just keep going. But if you want to be the best version of yourself, I think you need to dive in. And one of the things I realized in the pandemic was it might have been the first time that many people spent more time with themselves, which I actually think is healthy. We look for validation and gratification from the external. And social media certainly exacerbates that, because when people are following you, liking you, commenting on your things, there's a hit of dopamine that you get. And all of a sudden now you have this validation. When you have to spend time with you and it's not about all of that, you have to like who you are. You should love who you are. But the process of getting there means that you have to take the wounds and the things that hurt and understand them and where they come from and heal, because heal people and hurt people. So that's such an important part, is healing. And when you can do the healing, then you can have the discovery of beauty on the other side of that. Of, you know, you can become more connected, more spiritual, have more fun and more joy, and be more adventurous. I think so. What that looked like for me was just trying new things, you know, like going to some sort of class and, you know, to do some new exercise. Or, you know, later in life I got into Zumba, and because I love dancing, you know. It was like, just try new things and be adventurous and figure out what you like and what you don't like. You know, it's just like with food, you're going to like some things and you're not going to like other things. And it was such a fun process. But getting there meant that I also had to do some healing. So therapy and also journaling was ways that I could work through some of my own inner talk that I was facing.
Wow. Oh my goodness, that was so good. This holistically has been so good. Everything from like understanding first your story, then also understanding how you made some of those decisions to enter into ambiguous spaces in multiple aspects of life with a partner, to understanding what it looks like to begin to take ownership of your life and choose yourself. And I'm going to come back to determining where people are seated in your life and removing this disease to please, or understanding how to better engage it. Because I think it is, for a lot of us, myself included, that are people pleasers, I think it is an ongoing battle to make sure you're even choosing yourself in that, to getting to this place where you're learning to choose yourself. And in learning to choose yourself, you're rediscovering your identity and interest in who you truly are. This has been so, so, so good. So the final question that I always have on these podcasts is based on if you have any last advice. So if you have any final advice for myself or anyone that is facing ambiguity or uncertainty, what advice would that be?
Be intentional about the people that surround you. That's a choice. Who you have around you that influence you matters, because these people can either bring you down or lift you up. There's a mantra that a friend of mine and I developed that we like to live by, and it's called SAVERS. And SAVERS stands for people who support you, are aligned with you, value add to your life, elevate you, and rise with you. And it's a little set of criteria that we like to use as we're looking at those people, because you want people who are in your corner that can bring good positivity and encouragement in your life. And if you can take stock of that, that can be one way that you can have help and support in times of ambiguity.
Wow. 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 This was so good. Thank you so much for being willing to join the podcast. I know that so many listeners have already been impacted as they listen, and I can tell you, you've already impacted me as you shared. So thank you. For those that want to continue to follow you or continue the conversation, can you tell them how to find you?
Yes. So go to bornunbreakable.com and you'll find links to all my social media. I'm most active on Instagram. So if you go to the handle at Born Unbreakable, you'll find me, and I'd love to connect with you. Even if it's just to send a quick message, I always like to connect with people. So yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. 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 And I encourage you to connect, because Des is amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Yeah. Much, much, much appreciated. And thank you to everyone that tuned in this week. I want to challenge you to be intentional, to find that person or those people that support you, that are aligned with you, that value you, that elevate you, and that assist you in this rise as you engage ambiguity and uncertainty. And I'll talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambi. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ambiguity with Ambi. I'm your host, Amber Latrice, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion about navigating the uncertain and ambiguous parts of life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at I am Amber Latrice. Thanks again. And until we connect next time, I encourage you to embrace the uncertain and ambiguous moments of life. Talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambie.